This is the Authentic Persuasion Show. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to this week's live Authentic Persuasion Weekly Training. Always a mouthful. Today is June 10th, 2022. This is session number 35. Super excited for you to be tuning in wherever you're at in the world, whatever platform you're watching this on. It is being streamed each week live to LinkedIn, to the Facebook Cutter Consulting Group page, and also to the YouTube channel for myself, the Jason Cutter YouTube channel. And if you're not subscribed to that, make sure to check that out and subscribe, turn on the bell icon for notifications so you can get all the videos that I'm posting. I'm trying my best to post at least once a day, put different content out there, different clips, full-length videos, podcast interviews. Speaking of which, the podcast, super excited. Some of you might be listening to this as a replay on the Authentic Persuasion Show podcast stream. And if you're not, make sure if you listen to the podcast, go to your favorite podcast player, wherever you find podcasts, and make sure to find the Authentic Persuasion Show, hit subscribe, and get ready. Because if you're listening to this episode today, it's being streamed live on Friday, June 10th. But if you're listening to this podcast, when it's now a podcast, which means Monday the 13th or later, then this is season 6 of the podcast. I'm super excited for season 6 of the podcast, going back to 5 days a week with some short episodes, some clips, some solo episodes, some guests. Very excited for my first guest, who's going to be on Tuesday and Wednesday next week. Again, I'm going to put those videos of my guest Rita on the YouTube channel. You'll see some clips on LinkedIn and on Facebook, on Instagram, but the full podcast episodes will also be available, where part one on Tuesday is our conversation, some questions, some structure to it. And then part two on Wednesday is basically the after show, which is where he and I just basically reset the stream and the recording and see what happens. And we had a fun conversation when we recorded that with no structure, just kind of talking about random things from the previous conversation and stuff that I want to know from him. So make sure to check that out, the Authentic Persuasion Show, starting Monday the 13th, season 6. I am super excited. So let's get to this session. So here in the weekly live Authentic Persuasion training sessions, my goal is to help you close more deals, make more money, and do it in a way that feels authentic for you, leveraging authentic persuasion and seeing that sales is actually service. Sales is something you're doing for somebody and with somebody to help them get to a better place, to be their guide. Not try to be the hero of the story, not try to use manipulation, not try to do it just so you can get what you want in the world, but to literally be able to put that out there to help somebody, to help move them forward into something that's better. And hopefully it's aligned with what you're selling, right? Your product or service. So that's why I do this, to help you in any way that I can. Now, this is session 35. This is actually the sixth time of doing a Q&A session. Last week, I covered topics about getting through gatekeepers or past gatekeepers, dealing with gatekeepers, the mindset around that, partly about not seeing them as a gatekeeper and a burden, right? It's decision makers and non-decision makers. And so where does that fit into the conversation you have, your mindset, your attitude, and getting them to support you on your mission to try to help that company that you're wanting to talk to? So that was the first question. Second one was talking about cancellation. So if you're in sales, part of sales is just going to always be having people who have buyer's remorse, people who change their mind, people who cancel, people who try to cancel, think about canceling, and everything that. And that's part of sales. And I address that, both why cancellations are important to have, and then what to do if it's excessive or it's detrimental to you, to the company, and obviously those people that you're trying to enroll. And then the third question that I answered last week was about leads. And a lot of times I see people in sales who they're struggling, they're not getting the results they want. And many times they want to start by pointing the finger at the leads, at the marketing, and not themselves. And it's cheesy and it's cliche, but when you point your finger at something, your 3/4 fingers coming back at you, which means where's the responsibility on you? And I talked a lot about that last week in the session about the leads. What is your responsibility? Where does your part fit into that? And then when is it truly the leads? And if it is the leads, then what can you do about it? And so make sure to check out session 34. Again, you can find the replay on LinkedIn, YouTube, Facebook. You can find it on the Authentic Persuasion Show podcast stream. And then you can also find it on cutterconsultinggroup.com, where I have all of the podcasts, all the episodes, everything that's going on. You can find them all on there as well. So those are the questions from last week. If any of that sounds like something you want help with, or you're struggling with, or you're dealing with, or maybe you're a manager, a team lead, an owner, and you are seeing your team struggle with this, or they're complaining about some of these things, make sure to check out session 34 to maybe give you some insight and ideas and things you can take to your team or to lead from, or to just see who's doing it the way that's working effectively and who might not be a good fit for the team or for sales. So, which is just the nature of the beast, right? Not everything is for everybody. And sometimes you got to get to that conclusion, make that decision as a leader or even as an individual and say, this is not working. I'm not in the right place in life. What else could I be doing instead? Fundamentally, I've told so many people this over the years, life is too short to be doing things that you do not like, things that you hate, things that you don't enjoy. I don't mean just like struggle and you're falling down. You got to keep getting up. And you're learning and you're not a pro yet. I mean, something that's a square peg in a round hole just feels painful, miserable. Sunday nights, you're dreading Monday morning. Each day, you can't wait to leave work because it's just so painful and miserable. And it's just not in alignment. It's not a good fit. So some of that is just reality. It's just life. I've been through many career transitions, job transitions, changes in my life to know like when something feels right or when it gets to the point where this is no longer the right thing. And there's got to be something else for me. And fortunately, unfortunately, I have helped a lot of people with that kind of decision. And well, part of being in sales leadership roles, and even now as a consultant with some of my clients, is having people who are in sales that are not performing. They're struggling. They're not doing well. And those unfortunate times where you got to get to the point where it's like, we've got to part ways. And from my side, it's about helping someone move on to something that's a better fit, something that they will be successful at. And so that's part of what's always important for me. So let's get into today. So session 35, I've got some more questions here, things that I have got from clients, from people who work at my clients' offices, things that I get asked directly. And so let's dive into this. So question number one. And this is such a huge one for so many people in sales. The question is, how do I keep a positive mindset? Now, here's why this is so challenging and why this is such a big deal is because it is tough. Life is tough to keep a positive mindset. There's so many things. Like all you've got to do is turn on the news or pull up a news website or anything like that. Maybe even scroll through your social media. And it's tough to have a positive mindset with so much negative stuff being reported. And what I will say, and I think this is what's interesting, is that there's not a lot of negative stuff going on in the world relative to everything. It's just that's what the news focuses on. So when you scroll through, it's just generally going to be negative because that's what sells news. And that's what people are attracted to in the news feed. So there's a lot of that out there. So even in life, that can be difficult. Now, when you're in sales, it's even more challenging because what you're up against in your sales career to be effective is two difficult things. One is yourself, and the other one is that person that you're talking to. In yourself, you're dealing with that primal part of your brain, the amygdala, that wants to keep you safe. And I've covered this before in previous sessions. If you want to know more about this, I'm not going to dive into it in super detail today because I want to give high level for this answer, but you can always email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com, and I'll send you the links for the previous sessions I did specifically on this and mindset and having a positive mindset and where it comes from. But basically that primal part of our brain that's still thinking it's in survival mode eons ago is worried about getting kicked out of the tribe of humans. We are a tribal society. You do anything wrong, you get banished, and then you're on your own and you're most likely going to die. that part of our brain is still there. It's worried about it. It's why it doesn't like rejection. It's why I firmly believe that people fear public speaking over death, because public speaking equals ridicule, embarrassment. They could mess up. People could make fun of them. And that part of our brain and the ego wants to protect us at all times and keep us from harm, right? Self-harm from a emotional virtual. It's not even physical harm always. It's that emotional harm. And that's what it wants to keep us from. So it causes you to have difficulty in sales. And most likely before you got into sales, you had some experiences with asking for things and being rejected, being told no. And now you're in sales and that's what you've got to do all the time. And you've got to overcome that constantly, being able to pick up the phone and being like, I'm just going to call this person and I'm going to talk to them about their situation, about what I have to offer, and then see if I can move them forward. That is a challenge. That can be difficult. And that's going against what our brain wants to do, which is just to go along with everybody. Now, some people and some personality types are well equipped for that. They have a much higher propensity to be able to do that, right? Like, it's the people I know, and I have a good friend who I've known for a really long time. He loves making prank phone calls. He used to do that. I don't know if he still does it, but he has no problem with calling someone and just rolling with it and just seeing where it goes. A high level, not of confrontation, but being okay with the unknown and just going up to somebody, anybody, and talking to them about anything and not worrying about any kind of rejection, right? So some people have that general personality type that would lead itself to that, which of course is that generally where that person ends up being in sales, because they have no fear, or what seems like no fear. And then that makes them good at the sales, the outbound, the outreach, the networking, the meeting with people, talking to people. There's other parts of the personality that can make it difficult with sales, because the follow through and the attention to detail might not always be there. But that part is, if you're not in that group, then the challenge is you don't want to reach out. So that's the first part, is you're dealing with yourself. The second part is you're dealing with somebody else, which means you're dealing with someone else who has their fears, their concerns, their worries. They're afraid of change. They don't want to make a mistake. They're trying to make the right decision. That's why they're talking to you, potentially talking to you, unless you're just trying to reach out to them. They want some level of help, whether they fully admit it and embrace it, or it's just kind of there and it's under the surface, but you're up against that. If you're amazing in sales, you're going to have more failures than successes in your conversations. If you're amazing at sales, right? For most people who have some kind of lead source that's not just lay down referrals and relationships, you're going to maybe close 10, 20, 30, 40% if you're lucky, which means you're still losing more than you're winning in the opportunities and conversations you have, which means it's going to be a tough battle. That's the part of sales. That's the game that you've signed up for. And so with sales, with that being the case, the thing is that keeping a positive mindset is so difficult. So one thing, first thing to keep in mind is to keep a positive mindset. Remember and focus on why you're doing what you're doing. I don't mean for you. I mean, what is the value of what you're selling? What is it doing for the other person? How is it helping them? How is it improving them? How is it getting them to a better place? What is it doing for them that they currently need or want in their life, in their business, whatever that looks like? So focusing on what the value is for them. And if you're selling something that isn't really valuable, it's going to make it tough to have a positive mindset. People who are usually in that kind of sale, they really only care about the money, and then that comes across, and that's a whole nother topic. First though, focus on what it is that you're providing and how much of a difference, what kind of a difference it makes to the people who are your ideal customers. Again, individuals or businesses, and what's that value? Because then from that place, you see that it's service, right? I said this in the very beginning, is that sales is something you're doing so for somebody and with somebody, which means if you know how you can help companies or people and you reach out to them, then you're doing it because you want to help them, no matter what you're selling, right? It's not that you have to be selling something or trying to sign people up for something that's changing lives or changing the world, but you're doing something that's helping somebody. They will be better off as a result of buying from you. That's the first part. Second part is know why you're selling for you, what it is you want. Now, most people say, I'm doing it for the money. Okay, that's great. But why? What's the money mean for you? What's it going to do for you? then it starts getting real. And I'm not going to go into all the details on this. This is where a vision board and the steps to building a vision board really lend itself to be a powerful tool to help you have that positive mindset. And if you want that, I have my 4-part video series on the vision board challenge. If you haven't set up a vision board, you don't have to do it as a New Year's resolution. You should do it and have one all the time. So if you don't have one, make sure go to jasoncutter.com. Click on the button for if you're a salesperson, because I have the site divided just to make it easier, depending on what role you're in, and then go there and then sign up for the free vision board challenge. You'll get an email each day with a video and some homework to do to building that vision board for the reasons that will help you stay focused and have a positive mindset, right? And it's not a vision board for me. It's not a vision board for anyone else. It's about how to use that as a tool for you. So that's the second thing for the positive mindset. So the first one is remember and connect with why you're selling for the other person. Then the second one is why you're doing it for yourself, what that really means at the deepest level, because that's what's going to help you get back up when you fall down or pick up the phone to make another call when you get rejected on this one, right? And just to keep going. The third thing is remember that it's not personal, it's business. And I have a caveat to that. So if you're triggered and you're like, wait a second, just hold on. So the first part is remember it's not personal, it's business, right? So when you call somebody, you know you can help them. Your intentions are right. You're using authentic persuasion. You have the process. You know that there's value in you reaching out to them and potentially helping them. And if they're a customer and it's a good fit, if it's a good fit and they become a customer, you know they're going to be better off. If they reject you, if it doesn't go well, it's not personal, it's business. Who knows what's going on in their life? Maybe they're having a bad day. Maybe they just got yelled at by their boss or their significant other. Maybe they had a car accident that morning, right? Maybe they've got overdue bills. Maybe they're stressed. Maybe they got a bad diagnosis from a doctor. Like life could be just hitting them right in the head and they could be struggling. In some ways, that has nothing to do with you. And so don't take it personal. It's business. Now, the caveat, and here's the other side of this, and I think everyone who knows me knows what I'm going to say, which is it's also not business, it's personal. So you always want to assess it yourself. If you're having people who are rejecting you and turning you down and maybe responding negatively to your outreach, to your conversations, at some point, maybe it's not business, maybe it's personal. Is it you? Right? Is there something you're doing? Is there some way that you're coming across that's not effective and is turning people off or sending that kind of message and making it a combative situation? I've seen that so many times where I've seen salespeople who are like, yeah, people keep rejecting me and turning me down, like in phone calls. And these were inbound phone calls, not even outbound phone calls. And inbound phone calls weren't going well. And they couldn't get past like the first like 3-4 minutes. And I listened to their calls and I was like, if I called in and got you, I wouldn't want to talk to you either. Like you are not coming across very well. And at that point right then, it's not business, it's personal. It's what can they do? What can you do if you're getting that? So those things lead into the positive mindset, because if you remember that it's not personal, it's business, but you're doing everything you can to make sure it's not about you. If you're remembering why you're doing what you're doing for your sake, and the most important part is you remember and you know why you're doing it for their benefit, then it's easier to be positive, to have a positive mindset, to keep getting up and going over and over again, because when you line those three things up, then it's really not personal, it's business. And it's about reaching out, it's about helping people. So hopefully that helps. Other side thing with the positive mindset, something else that comes to mind is figure out what you can do for you to help reset that. Because sometimes you just get in a slump. Sometimes you just have a rough day, a rough string of calls, you know, a deal that you just knew was going to sign up, right? That person was just going to sign up, that company was ready to go. And then it falls away, or you don't hear from them, or they just completely say no, and they don't want to talk to you ever again. That is crushing. Figure out what you can do as a reset. Maybe it's go for a walk. Maybe it's call somebody you know, like a friend or a family member. Maybe it's step away. Maybe it's to do a little reading. You just got to be careful. It's not overly procrastination from doing more, right? Sometimes you just got to do it and then, you know, keep going. But if you're especially struggling, find something, could be, you know, something like meditation, could be a quick meditation. Doesn't have to be this 15 minute legs crossed, like serious focus thing. It could be 1 minute. It could be breathing exercises. I'm a huge fan of box breathing. And again, if you want more information, you can Google that. It's a technique I learned from listening to a podcast about a Navy SEAL who was talking about it, or you can always email me or send me a direct message. I'll explain how I use the box breathing. That's helpful. Things like Wim Hof, if you're really struggling, there's so many different things, but figure out that thing for you that gives you a reset when you're feeling negative. Might be journaling. I stop and journal a bunch when I'm feeling stuck or I'm feeling negative, reset myself, get back in the game and go. So hopefully that helps. All right. Number two, question number two, I haven't hit my numbers and quota in a while. What should I do and how long until I should quit or they might fire me? Which is interesting if we think about kind of what I was talking as a segue before we dove into this section about when it's not a good fit. So again, the first part of the question is, I haven't hit my numbers and quota in a while. What should I do? Well, the first thing is identifying where the issue might be. And it's tough because there's so many variables when it comes to sales. It's so tough to know exactly where the issue is. But the thing to look at first from a management consulting perspective, when I hear the situation or I see a salesperson in this scenario, is looking at the numbers and finding out, were you ever successful? And successful meaning hitting the numbers you wanted to hit relative to how long you were in sales, right? So maybe you're new in this role and you did well at some point, and then maybe you hit that slump, which I've talked about before, or you know, you've been improving and then it's falling off, or you're not improving at the rate you want to be improving. There's so many different factors relative to how long you've been in sales in that role, what you're selling, sales cycle, and so on. The key is when were you successful? When did you feel successful? When did it feel like you were getting the results that you wanted relative to the work that you were putting in, right? Not just the easy results, but like you were doing the things. And then what I always do with people is we go back to that time period and then figure out what they were doing. So with this, figure out what you were doing. So right now, if you're not hitting your numbers, but you used to hit your numbers, then go back to when you used to hit your numbers and look at what you did. Usually, here's the big things that people were doing before and stopped doing is they were following a script or a process. They were following what the company told them to do that worked, and they trusted in that process. Yep, typically, they were talking less. The salesperson was talking less and asking more questions and being open and curious and getting the other person to share more information so they could figure out how they could help them. Typically, it was also involving more activities and actions, making more phone calls, sending more emails, maybe attending more meetings, having booking more demos, booking more appointments, right? Sending more proposals, whatever that looks like. Usually there was more that was happening. It's this combination of following an actual process and doing the activities and actions. Now, here's the thing is there's always a delay with sales. I mean, unless you're in a one call close, if you don't close that person, you'll never talk to them again. Typically, you have a pipeline of people. Maybe you're closing today, some that you won't close till next month, and so on. A lot of times, depending on your sales cycle, your sales process, the results you have today are a result of what you did 60 to 90 days ago. So if you're seeing yourself not getting the results you want, really, what have you done in the last 90 days? What did you start or stop doing 90 days ago that might be leading to this, right? So if you imagine your sales pipeline and your sales success is a garden and you are starving today and nothing is coming out of the ground and you don't know what you're going to do and you're scared and you're in survival mode and you're panicking. And then you look back 90 days and go, well, yeah, I haven't planted anything in 90 days. Or I planted a couple of seeds, but the critters got it. And of course, that's why nothing's coming out of the ground. The problem is a lot of people in sales that I see are just sitting there and they're pointing the finger at all these other factors and all these other things, but they haven't been planting seeds and they haven't been working on nurturing that pipeline, right? Nurturing the garden and watering it and keeping pests away and giving it the love and attention that they need. And right now they're starving in their sales career and they don't understand why. And when we go back a little bit in time, it's easy, like from an outside perspective, to see what that is. So if you were successful at one point and you're not now and you're struggling, maybe in a slump, because slumps happen and slumps happen over and over again. Slump is not a one-time thing. It is a constant cycle that you will hit when you're in sales. Go back to what worked when it worked. Reconstruct, deconstruct, reverse engineer what it is that you did that got you to be successful at that point in the past. It could have been a month ago, could have been a year ago, and then do that again and do it consistently. Again, the results you have right now might be from 30, 60, 90 days ago, which means if you're struggling right now, getting back on track with what you know or what you can do to be successful is great, but that might not lead to anything for another 30, 60, 90 days. So you actually have to do it and stick with it. It's like you want to get healthy. So you decide to join a gym. The first week, you don't see results. The second week, you might not see many results, right? 30 days in, you may see little results, but you've got to keep going every day on your plan as many times and that you need to, so that you can get the results and just have faith and trust that they're going to happen without needing to see them today. So that's one of the biggest things to do. Now, if you were never successful in sales and you're struggling with being in sales and you're still not successful and you've never really like hit quota or hit your numbers and been successful consistently, like maybe you had a spike and you did it once and who knows, it could have just been, you know, that the moons and planets in alignment that just happened to work out where you made some sales that time, right? But not consistently, then part of that is, should you be in sales? What can you do? Are you actually following the instructions and process that you've been given by your company? Do you actually have a process if you're an independent agent? And then what are you doing every day in your conversations, in your activities and actions to be successful? Are you doing the effort? And then from there, is it a good fit? It might just not be a good fit. There is that possibility. Now, the second part of this question is how long until I should quit or they should fire me? Well, that's obviously a tough one because it depends on the situation, depends on so many different factors that come into play there. If you were successful and you lost it, get back to it as quickly as possible and know that you can do that. And obviously, if you can sustain that financially, great. Even if you switch careers, you're going to have to start over at zero anyway or somewhere close to that. And so if you know you can get back to being successful where you're at, do it. Biggest thing too is to have open communication. Talk with your management, talk with your leadership and explain it, right? They're looking at the numbers. They're thinking about it as well. Best thing you can do is have that conversation. It might seem scary, but all they want to know is, do you know how to get back to being successful? And can they trust you to do that? And can they support you in doing that? Right? Most managers and leaders want you to be successful. They don't want to have to replace you. They don't want to have to let you go. They don't want to have to find somebody else. They would rather help support you on the road back to success. And so if they're not communicating it with you, you communicate it with them so that you don't have that feeling. Because nothing is worse from an employee standpoint of wondering every day when that meeting is going to come with somebody in management or HR, where they're going to have some meeting and they're going to have some paperwork and they're going to have a cardboard box for you, right? Or in this virtual world where they're going to have some documents for you to electronically signature, and then they're going to turn off all your accounts remotely, right? And it's just dark screen and that's it. So that is a terrible feeling to have throughout the day, every day, over the weekend, thinking about the next one. So you've got to take some ownership of that. If you're really struggling and it's not a good fit, then change, but communicate with your management and leadership if you're working on it, or if you want to, and if you realize it, right? Like you're listening to me or watching me go through this and you're thinking, I was successful. I don't know what I did, but I know that I can do it again because I did it once. I just don't know what that is. Go to your manager, go to your leader and say that, right? Or hire yourself a coach and a mentor. Like I have people who reach out to me constantly who they're not getting support or they're independent. They don't have a boss, manager, trainer, leader that they can go to because they're supposed to just know it all because they're independent. And it's about you taking that step and being, I don't know. I know I can do it. I know I have done it. I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to find it again. And then a good manager or leader or coach is going to reconstruct what you used to do. Looking at the processes you had, the phone calls, the meetings, what did you do? Why was it successful? How was it successful? And then get you back to that. All right. Question number three. And I love these questions. If you have questions, by the way, you have things that come up in your sales career or you're in a leadership role and it's like something you're struggling with or facing as a leader, or you hear from your salespeople and would love that to be answered. Always, depending on where you're watching this or listening to it, send me a DM if that's possible. You can put things in the comments with questions and then I can take those, or you can always email me jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. Send me an email with the question and I would love to be able to add that into the list here and answer these in these shows. So, all right, so let's go to question number three, the final one for today. I am thinking about changing industries so I can make more money. I am worried I might not be good at selling the new product. What can I do to be successful if I change? I see this one a lot. It's usually for one of two things. One is somebody thinks or wants to make more money. So maybe they're in some lower ticket sales kind of environment, and then they want to move to a higher ticket sales. Maybe they're in a business to consumer type sale, which is usually maybe a little higher volume, lower ticket, and they want to go into B2B because they see the money people are making, or they have a friend or somebody they know that's talking about how much money they're making in B2B sales. And so they want to move into that. You also see it too, where it's a lifestyle thing, right? Like I see this a lot in online groups and things on Facebook where somebody's in car sales or some kind of retail sales, and they want to move away from that lifestyle, which is like long hours, long days, constant, you know, holidays, retail type grind. And they want to go more professional. They want to have maybe a Monday through Friday, right? They want to have a base salary. They want to have some different part of their lifestyle instead of maybe a commission only here. They want to go into this mode. So that's usually where this happens. Here is the key, is what I see is people struggling to change sales careers when they're doing, they don't understand what you're supposed to do in sales from my perspective. And when we talk about that, when I reference the authentic persuasion pathway, it has those five parts where it's really about helping somebody, your potential customer, who's scared and afraid of change, helping them move through a process that then gets the right people out of their comfort zone and making a change and buying from you. Classic sales, classic mode, and I use classic, we'll use it in air quotes. It's the one that's usually more built around manipulation, force, pressure, tricks, tactics, self-centered hero mode from sales or companies, is focused more on like, here's us, I'm going to push this on you, I think you should do it. You know, what would it take for you to buy today instead of walking off this lot? You know, that kind of like closing lines and strategies. And when you do that, that's really just focusing on manipulation. And again, it's typically from a self-centered, like I know that if I don't sell this to you, I'll never sell this to you. So I need to make this happen now or else, right? Or else I'll never hear from you again, or else I might lose my job, or else I won't make enough money, or else I just want to make more money. If you have that kind of mode, it can be difficult to take that into a new industry, because typically people who get really good in industry A or at selling product or service A, they just know how to manipulate or push people for that product, right? They know how to push buttons. It doesn't always translate into pushing buttons or pushing people in a different one, right? Like the way you sell a car is going to be different than the way you deal with a company who might want to make a decision about a software platform to help with their marketing automation, for example. It's two different things. And those tactics definitely aren't going to work, because now you're dealing with multiple decision makers, a longer sales cycle. You don't have a physical product. You're not doing it in person. You don't have that pressure, right? Like you have so many things so many tools that are now gone when you go from, let's say, selling cars in person to selling software as a service over the phone or virtual or whatever that looks like. And so the question is, do you have the fundamentals? Now, where I see it being successful, and if you want to make that transition, really at the heart of this question is how to be successful at that. The key is understanding what is sales. If you understand that, and you understand the basics of sales, and you have the fundamentals, the foundation, is strong with you relative to what you can do in sales and what sales really is. I've mentioned it several times today. Sales is service. Sales is something you're doing for and with them. Sales is that process, like I said, with the authentic persuasion pathway, where it's rapport, empathy, trust, hope, and urgency, moving people through a process, getting them to embrace change and be comfortable with it. If you understand all of that and you've gotten good at those principles, then it doesn't matter what you're selling, with a couple of caveats, which I'll cover, but it fundamentally doesn't matter. In the same way, if you know the fundamentals of cooking, if you have an understanding of ingredients, of tools, kitchen tools, right? Like pots and pans and spatulas and blenders and those kind of things, like how to use a knife and cutting board. Like, I know it sounds silly, but like if you understand those basic fundamentals and you're good at the fundamentals of cooking and ingredients and what could go with what, and being able to do that, somebody could take you and throw you in any kitchen with any set of ingredients, right? As long as you have enough of it, and you could turn it into something, right? Because you have the fundamentals. Same thing with sales, where if you're skilled and you have the fundamentals, then you could go into any kind of sale and sell because you understand people. You understand that it's not B2C, it's not B2B, it's H to H, right? It's human to human. You're just dealing with a human. Doesn't matter what you're selling. You're trying to help them. And if you understand that that's your goal, everything else is easy. If you think your goal is to convince them that you're the best and you're the hero, you're going to struggle with each transition because you're going to have to learn how to manipulate people or be the hero or tell your story versus actually just focusing on helping people. And it doesn't matter. I pride myself at testing this constantly. It's really actually something fun that I enjoy doing, where I, especially as a consultant, there's been periods a few years ago where I would actually go on behalf of my clients to trade shows, to expos, where I would help in the booth. I would help their team sell more effective, like learn some strategies and see how to do it from the booth's perspective in a way that actually engages people and has some good conversations, not just, you know, vomiting the monologue all over people and hoping it resonates, but like actually pre-qualifying and then helping people. And then also doing sales from there just because it's fun for me. And I've literally had times, like I remember one time it was really fun to do. I was in Vegas for one conference on behalf of one client working in a booth, selling one product, right? Literally flew to San Francisco. While at the airport, I changed shirts, changed name tag, changed business cards in my pocket to a different company, Ubered to a different conference, walked straight onto the expo hall floor, put my bag behind the backdrop, and then literally turned around and started selling something completely different. It's completely different. Went from products to services, like night and day, to two different audiences, two different crowds. And it's fun. For me, sales is sales. You have to know what you're selling. You have to know the value, the benefits, the things I talked about in that first answer that I gave regarding the positive mindset about why, what is the value to somebody else and why would they want or need it? And why would this help them? You got to know some of that. Otherwise, the rest of it's the fundamentals. I just want to ask questions. I want to get to know where they're at. I want to see if there's that intersection there. Can I help them? If so, let's help them. If you can do that, if you have those skills, and you work on that, then you can go and literally sell anything and make any transition, especially, and I wrote this in the book, Selling with Authentic Persuasion, in making yourself a salesperson, right? Making, instead of thinking you have to be born that way, is my sales success traits are open, curious, creative, persistent, and authentic. If you're open and curious and you have the foundation of understanding what sales is about, you take that anywhere. You go to a new company, you're open to their ideas, their script, their process, their sales mechanics. You're curious about them, the industry, and potential customers, and it's easy. Where it doesn't work is someone says, and this one always frustrates me, is somebody comes on board at a company and says, well, that's not what I used to do. That's not how I used to sell. Well, let me do it this way because this is the way I've always sold. It's like, Okay, but this is what we found works. You can try your way. If it doesn't work, I promise there will be a cardboard box waiting for you and some paperwork from HR, right? If you think you know best, you can try it that way. But if it doesn't work, we have this other way. And if you still don't want to use that, here's how this works. So you've got to combine open and curious, especially with those sales fundamentals. That is the biggest thing for making that transition. Now, I said there was a couple caveats. The biggest one that comes to mind, other than what I just covered, is you also have to be really aware of your patience and relationship timeline style. Here's what that means. If you come from really short sales cycle transactions, let's use the example I was using, talking about cars, and then also moving to business-to-business software as a service sales, which is typically a longer sales cycle, right? Some of it might happen quick, but most of it's going to be 30 days, 60 days, maybe like 9 months. People you're talking to for 9 or 12 months while you're waiting for their budget cycle. Like, there's all kinds of reasons, right? If you're selling cars, you might have people that come back later on to buy a car, but typically if they're on the dealership lot and they're thinking about buying a car today, unless they're horribly unqualified, they want to buy a car today and they will buy a car today. And you're there to serve them in that way. One of the challenges I see a lot for people is if they're short sales cycle focused, short relationship focused, they're used to getting in, getting out, maybe never talking to that person again, especially if they don't care about staying in touch with that person and referrals and like the value of a long-term relationship, and they're playing the long game, especially in something like car sales, retail, things like that, where people are like, I don't even know if I'm going to be in business 6 months. I don't know if I'll still be in this job. I'm not going to be doing this for very long. So they're not caring about long-term relationships, referrals, anything like that. It's just like one and done. That person, that mindset, that focus really struggles in shifting to longer sales cycle, where now you have to nurture a relationship for 6 months. You're not used to talking to someone for more than 4 or 5 hours, let's say, on the dealership lot, or maybe a couple of days, and then they make that decision. And that can be really tough. So you have to be very self-aware of understanding what's your default mode, what do you prefer? And if you prefer that like quick hunting and then moving on, you know, getting the kill and moving on, you're going to really struggle that long sales cycle stuff. It's going to drive you crazy and you're not going to perform. You're going to put too much pressure on people in the moment and you're not going to like the follow-up. You're not going to want to sustain. It's going to feel painful because it goes against your default nature. Doesn't mean you can't change. You just want to be aware of it. Be aware of that change, that transition. So if you go into longer sales cycle stuff, just understand it's going to be longer. You have to play the long game. You have to be patient. You actually have to care about people and build long relationships to get them to move and then still be proactive in helping them move. So that's the biggest thing, is to understand that transition. A lot of people don't realize that. They go from short to long and then they really struggle. It's really painful, and they don't understand why it's so painful. And a lot of managers and leaders, especially if you're watching this or listening to this and you run a longer sales cycle, B2B, enterprise, anything like that, you always want to be careful and select people in your interview process who they're going to have the patience and tolerance for longer stuff, right? If they're coming from short sales cycle stuff, that shouldn't be a deal breaker, shouldn't be like a huge red flag. But it should definitely be a point of conversation in your recruiting process to make sure that they're okay with it. And if you want some help with that, this is what I help a lot of my clients with on the recruiting side, is setting up your recruiting process to filter that out. And I don't mean like surveys and forms and resumes. I mean, the process itself. Make sure to reach out to me. So hope that helps with number three. If you're looking at changing industries, changing companies, changing products, services, whatever that looks like, sales cycles. Again, if you have the fundamentals, the foundation, the right attitude, you got the sales success traits, and you understand who you are and what you're good at, easy. Should be able to change all the time, right? Like if somebody's a really good waiter, waitress, a server at a restaurant, and they can go from this restaurant to this restaurant because they understand the fundamentals, they just got to learn a new menu, that's great. If one person only knows how to sell this one thing or be a server in this one type of food or this one restaurant, they're stuck. They're stuck there forever. And it's going to be difficult when their time comes and they no longer want to be there or can be there. So hopefully this information helps. This was a long one. I just get into these questions and answering them. And it's definitely, hopefully it's some good value. Definitely fun for me. I love sharing all this stuff, which is why I just get on a roll. And if you want, or you're watching these, or you want to see some of the clips from before, one of the things we're doing is we're taking these clips of these questions and putting them on the channel, on YouTube in particular, and just shorter things, working on that as well. So you want to just find some of these. And we'll be putting these on the podcast as well. And in the clip shows, which is Thursdays, which, you know, just helps people. Okay, here's an episode on overcoming this. All right, great. Here's one on mindset. And it's a couple of clips just to help you as quickly as possible. But that's it for today. If you want any help, if you want help with the recruiting or positive mindset, anything like that, you can always email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. Super excited, super happy for everyone that's here because it's part of helping me in the mission. When in doubt too, if you're looking for more content, you can't remember my email address, you're not sure where to start, go to jasoncutter.com. Jasoncutter.com, super easy to remember. And then you'll find what you need there and ways to reach out to me, all of my social media channel, everything I have going on. That's the best place to start, jasoncutter.com. And again, for everyone tuning in, I appreciate you being a part of my journey and part of my goal to shift sales from being a dirty word to something the world trusts and respects, while at the same time helping you close more deals and make more money. It's not about just being an order taker. It's about being a sales professional. So until next time, thank you for tuning in and helping fill the world with authentic persuaders.